All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by friends over at X2 Power Batteries. We are back with the mangled up captain, Mr. Andy Full. And as always, I'm your host, Kaylee Egbert. Buddy, you made the mistake of holding your hand up when we started it. So people are already probably wondering, but
yeah,
what the heck happened?
Oh, so about 20 minutes before the 4:05 Bills game on Sunday, my wife was getting home from Canada with her sister, so they had like a sister weekend, and I pulled the colander out of the cupboard because I was going to rinse off some haddock fillets to throw them in the oven and bake them, and my wife tried to sabotage me. She had the food processor blade right next to the colander, and I was not mindful to it at all. I hit it with my hand, and I guess it probably slowly fell out because I had the colander in the sink, and then I felt something slap the top of my hand, and I was like, ooh, I'm cut. So I looked down, and I like closed my hand, and it was like blood. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Right across the top of my knuckle, right to the knuckle itself, and I'm all super glued together here. No stitches, so I can get back to fishing in a couple days. So, yeah, that's what happened.
It's always something with you, man. Like, I thought my life was hectic, but you live a day in the life. Like, the updates from Andy, it's just, you never know what's coming, to be honest.
Never.
You really
like,
don't.
I think you're at the Bills game, and I was like, almost cut my hand off.
Yeah, Landon and I are sitting there in the stands, and I just get a text from you, and I open it up, and Landon's like, oh my God, what did he do? Because it was gross. It was not a nice sight to see.
Yeah, it was a good one. So, but I got it. Like, it was funny. I got to a media care, and the girl literally goes, did you wrap your hand by yourself? And I was like, yeah. She goes, you did a better job than I could. I was like, oh, I guess all this medical training I had to do for my captain's license came in handy. So, like, this wrap job I did myself in my living room like 2 hours ago.
Really looks like you're about to go step in the ring.
Yeah, it's ready. I got some gauze padding around the knuckles. I actually had I'm supposed to be wearing a brace on my index finger so I don't bend it, so it doesn't crack open. But my hand was so uncomfortable that I took it off, and I'm like, I want to move it because it was getting stiff. So yeah, I never listened to doctors.
Good grief. Yeah, actually, that's funny you say that. I'm literally sitting here as, you know, when you get married and turn 26 in the same week, you got to go off your parents' medical plan.
Oh,
I'm literally staring at the card as you say that right now. And I'm like, I haven't been to a doctor since I was in college. And that was, how many years ago is that?
Yikes.
Almost 2.5, 3 years. It's not good. But yeah, nonetheless, speaking of Bills game, that was a fun game. Speaking of football, real fast. Don't know how the heck the Eagles pulled it out last night against the Chiefs. Thank God defense showed up second half, but did poke a little bit of fun at old Dave Mercer. I had to shoot him a text with the Eagles playing his Chiefs, and but we are here tonight for a great episode. We have a few different things going on here. One, it's Thanksgiving week. And I think the plan is this is going to be the only show that we have for this week. We're going to go enjoy our Thanksgiving break with family, have a good time, and we'll be back hot and heavy and ready to go for next week. We already have our guests lined up for you guys, which we'll tell you guys here in a little bit. Tonight we have our pal, the Wizard, Mr. Caleb Bell, joining us here. His luscious locks sitting there down there in the queue, getting ready to drop some nuggets on you folks. But also tonight is where we are going to be announcing the winner of the Project Purple giveaway that we've been running for the past couple weeks, because it's November and we are supporting pancreatic cancer, trying to help the folks over at Project Purple fight the good fight. So again, you have... We put it around. So Sam will be coming on later tonight when Caleb pops off here towards the end of the show. We're going to bring in Sam to do a little wrap up and announce the winner. And what we're going to do is you literally have about till 9 o'clock, so about 50 more minutes if you want to get in on it. It's a 100 amp hour lithium battery from XD Power that you can win a $200 Berkeley bait package, several of custom baits that he put in that he is a buddy that makes custom baits and more swag and such involved there. So there's a lot you can win. And all you got to do is literally at the very least donate $1 toward pancreatic cancer, the folks at Project Purple. So highly recommend you get in on that if you can. Obviously, if you're not within the means, totally understand. But if you can, it'd be highly appreciated. The link is down below if you guys want to go and support. But tonight, before we get our main man, Mr. Caleb Bell, on here, because we got to catch up, but two, we got a great topic, because this time of year, I've actually been very fortunate enough to fish with Caleb and see the wizard at work, if you will. So we have a lot of stuff we're going to dive into really fast, going through that Black Friday sales. You guys know we got to pump those because it's that time of year where everybody's out shopping, because it's a great time of year to save money. Do It Molds is running a big sale. If you guys are following our social, we posted all about that. Links are down below in the description. Same with Bass Fishing Electronics, some pretty heavy sales on Humminbird, Minkota, Power Pole, things like that. If you guys are looking to stock up and switch some things out, it is the time to do that, especially over there. He's running some big sales on some high dollar products that you can save a hell of a lot of money on. And last but not least, listen up for this one, for people that, because we have been flooding our DMs from you guys ever since we partnered with XD Power. We've had a lot of questions and how to save money. We've always had a discount code that you guys could use, but on Black Friday only on Friday, 15% off of lithium, lithium jump packs, air compressors, excuse me, 15% off on Friday. That's 15% off all of their lithium batteries. So
that's a crazy good deal.
It is. So use code DEMAND15, all caps, DEMAND15. We'll make a whole post about it and everything leading up to it. And we'll put it down in the description for you guys as well. But DEMAND, all caps, DEMAND15. You guys can save 15% Friday only. Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. You can go on the site because now they're shipping direct to your door. So definitely take advantage of that. If you guys are looking to get in some lithiums, which with the amount of questions we've been had thrown our way across all platforms, I can now's the time to take advantage of that one. But nonetheless, Andy, a little pre-happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's tuning in to here, and we'll be tuning in later this week. And I think without further ado, let's get our boy on here, Mr. Caleb Bell.
Hold on. What's going on, man? What's up?
Do a little spin for the folks. Show off that lettuce. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, fluff it out.
Hair down, girl.
The unruly mane back there. Oh, man. I have like knee curly as hair. I didn't even know it. I've never had my hair like more than an inch long probably in my entire life.
Really? So this is the first time you've ever tried growing
it? Ever. Hair? What prompted you to grow it out? Huh?
What prompted you?
After the accident and everything, it's like I wasn't in sales and stuff anymore. I'm like, I'm going to grow a mullet. That's it.
Are you like trying to get like, are you trying to be like Pete Maine? Was it Manya up there in the upper Midwest, the famous muskie fisherman? Like that guy's got some.
I'm trying to bring it back. Yeah. I'm trying to like do away with 2023 and just like start rolling back to the 80s, like start to rewind time.
Oh, if we could, man. Oh, there's so many things that are way better. That were way better.
I need neon. All you need now is like hairbands. I need mullet.
Oh yeah, keep the mullet, man. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I love it.
That's right. Well, buddy, we were talking offline too. You said literally a year ago today, like you made the post about guiding and things like that. And it sounds like things are going pretty good.
It's been awesome, dude. Like first year guiding, just wrapping it up. I think by the end of December, I'm going to be somewhere around 250 trips, which is just awesome. I just love all the support and stuff. And it's so cool. Like, this is something I feel like I was meant to do. Like, I enjoy just hanging out with other people. And I never get tired of it. Never get tired of watching other people catch fish, teaching people how to fish, you know, just enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, I can confirm that, because while you would put Rudd and I on fish, you're back there tinkering with some like things that Rudd and I would look at each other like, what in the
world? What is that guy doing?
But then you catch like the biggest fish of the day, and we're just like, all right, that's Caleb being Caleb.
Thanks. I'm just over there being weird by myself. Leave me be. Yeah.
Just let me be weird.
Just let me be strange.
I was actually
literally what I was doing while y'all were talking. I was sitting here looking at Navionics, and I saw this little lake right outside one of the pockets that I fished. It's literally a ditch that leads into it. And I always knew that that like pocket, the back of it, whatever was feeding it, is what makes it so good back there. And it's this tiny lake called Morning Glory Lake. Never seen that on Navionics before. I'm
like, Morning Glory.
Nerding out. So now I got to look it up on, see the satellite image, see what's going on back in there. It's probably spring. That's what I'm thinking.
So you can get a winch out and everything, see how you can get your way back in there.
Oh, I guarantee you. Yeah. See, I'm not in a tournament, so I'll just beach the boat and just walk back there and fish.
Yeah, you're extreme. Dude, that's got to be for folks like Andy and I, where we do like, we're not like, we won't claim ourselves as quote unquote tournament fishermen. We love doing it. Don't get me wrong, yeah, but like yeah. The, it's got to be a nice, wow. List just came out right there. That was awkward. It's got to be a nice breath of fresh air for folks that like are so heavily involved in tournament fishing that take a step back and go fun fish for a while. Like what you're just saying, like,
oh my goodness. It's so funny. So shout out to local guides around here. Wishing I was fishing guide service and Talking Tackle. They're just like my bros. We hang out pretty much every morning before we all go out and fish together. That group of guys, like, between the manager, Greg, is probably top three fishermen I've ever been in the boat with, period.
Damn.
Really, really, extremely good angler. And then Dylan and Tanner, amazing anglers. Well, they've fished, like, different tournament trails this year, and the amount of wins that those guys have brought from, like, Dale Hollow, Cherokee, like, all the way down, like, Smith Lake, they have crushed it. Like, if there was an angler of a year – deal, like, they've crushed everything this year. It's been insane, like, the amount of, you know, first, second, thirds that those boys have gotten just jumping in any tournament they want on any lake, not practicing, not doing anything, just showing up and taking people's money. It's amazing. I've never seen anybody go on a run like this. It's like there's like a core group of like five guys there, and yeah, if one of them shows up to the ramp on Derby Day, you might as well just take it to the house.
Hey, nope.
Yeah, it's awesome,
dude. Some people just got it, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Never claim that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not my thing. I'm stubborn, so like if I get in an area and I want to catch these fish, I'm gonna sit there until I can do it. Or if I'm sitting there and like it's, you know, the practice day, I'm the worst person. If you want to fish a tournament with me, it's like, okay, let's go practice. And then it's like that Friday, I'm like, I found them. Like, oh, did you leave him alone? No, I caught 70. Yeah. If I find him, I'm going to smash him. I mean, it's just the way it is. Like, you can't let up because you never know if they're going to be there the next day. So
right.
My mindset just completely does not work for tournament angling. I don't think it's not in the cards for me.
Andy, how many times have I told you, like, there's been tournaments where I've sucked in and I'm just like, dude, I really just wish I knew that I was going to suck in this tournament so I could have blasted. Like, I would find them in practice and be like, I wish I could have just blasted them because I could have had a great day.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. I mean, there's so many. That's every tournament angler, though, right? I mean, it's
every
single person that has fished a tournament has experienced it where they're like, damn, wish I could keep catching them in practice right now.
I think the thing that probably stuck that in my mind the biggest was, it was Cole Sands. He was fishing high school national championship years ago, I guess. I don't even know how many years ago now. And we went out and we found some bedfish, and dude, big ones. There was like a stretch that had, I don't know, four or five bags over 40 pounds on it. There was like the amount of 7 to 9 pounders in this little stretch. And we would go and skip like five or six of them, and he would flip one time to one of them and catch it. We could have literally, I think that he, like, I'm not a very good bed fisherman. I think he could have caught all those fish. And he was like, I got to leave them for tomorrow, you know, or it was like 2 days from then. And they were all gone, every one of them.
Every single one.
But yeah, he had like, gosh, like 26 pounds or something like that, 24 pounds and three.
Oh my God.
And that was the only three that we even like, he flipped like one or two times each of them and they would like come and eat it, which never happens here.
Jeez.
So it would have been probably, it was set up to be probably one of the most epic days of, you know, bed fishing that anyone had ever had on the lake. And we
probably had a mega bag. Yeah.
They said, my peace.
Trying to update. Stop it.
They dropped their eggs and got out of there for sure.
And dude, you speaking of that, slight tangent here, but you warned us about Cole Sands before he even made the elites. Before even I think he was fishing the opens, you told us about him.
Hammer, man. Like for those of you who don't know, I've been fishing with Cole since just after he got to Tennessee from Alaska. And he started taking up and fishing like some junior tournaments, and some of the local guys kind of took him under their wing. And like him and his brother both, and just a couple, like Bank Shaw is another example of that. There's these certain kids, man, and it's like they pick it up so fast, and they can, you know, like put the pieces together light years ahead of what I can. You know, it's like taking me decades and stuff to kind of amass what I have going on now. But some of those guys, it's like it just, they make all the right calls. Especially, I think that's the biggest thing with a tournament angler too, is like making those decisions and stuff. And like that kid's got it. Bank Shaw, you're gonna see him in the Elite Series, I'm telling you right now. I mean, he's got his he just put his Phoenix up for sale, 1 year old. He's got 436 hours on that Merc. He's won like $80,000 in tournaments this year. He's like, what, 19 or something like that?
No way.
Yeah. Oh, we want a boat. A boat helps.
That definitely does help.
Yeah. But just a hammer. It's so cool to see. And I feel like where I am here, it's kind of a mecca for like making those little monsters, you know, the guys that you're going to be seeing here in a few years. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a few shows that we're talking about that, like, nowadays, like, people are trying to credit like graphs and live scope and things to why younger guys are doing so well. And
yeah,
I think a lot of that is overlooked to the one that how anglers are more accessible in this sport than ever through social media. Oh, did you guys, you guys seeing that thumbs up on my screen,
bro? You thumbs up and it thumbs up back.
What is going on right now?
Wait, do something else.
I'll come on the bird and see what happens.
Yes,
that was weird.
That's crazy. What's going on? See if it does it again. No way. Yeah.
That was weird.
Andy's got a button he's pressing.
I did not. Like, I got nothing.
I'm so confused, but that was cool. That was strange. We'll have to test that out later.
Yeah.
I totally just lost my train of thought. I have no idea. That totally threw me off.
We were talking about the younger anglers and how everybody's, you know, there's all this. I don't pay attention as much to the whole tournament scene and like all the drama that's unfolding and like the Randy Blockett stuff and all that about the live scope and everything. But there seems like there's a whole group of people that are trying to take credit away from these younger anglers and just saying that, oh, it's the technology, or it's, you know, it's the times that they're able to learn it faster. And, you know, all these old heads are retiring because of them. And I was out with Scott Schwacker, the owner of Hog Farmer Bait Company, did a trip and took his daughter out, and we caught a bunch of fish like yesterday. And we were talking about this. It's like all these old heads, you know, they were kind of on the outs anyway. And then MLF came along and they got paid, and it's like it kept the whole train running a little longer, right? Mm-hmm. So as that winds down, there's a lot of these guys that are just, they're making a decision. They're either trying to jump back into bass, or they're jumping ship completely, retiring like they would have a few years ago if MLF had not been a thing. So I think it's like it's a major discredit to all these young guys, because what you've done is you've created a bunch of monsters. Like, we have all these awesome high school leagues now, have all these awesome college leagues now. We have kids that are on YouTube watching every bit of content, soaking up all the information that it took you 20, 30, 40 years to put together. And they're just as nerdy as we are. They're taking all that to heart. They're soaking it in. They don't have as many responsibilities and things around them, so they can just 100% all in, right? Yeah, and I'm just making hammers. Like, they're just like it's the rate. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're doing this and they're like,
yeah,
they're just soaring. And so that's like, you're gonna see more and more of the young guys. You can take the live scopes from them, I don't care.
Yeah,
they're gonna smash. I mean, it's just part of it.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing that I'm 100% with you. I can't get behind the trying to take credit away, because it's a different time. For one, the learning curve has rapidly accelerated from what is at the hands. Like, anybody that's complaining about it, if you were that age and you had that same passion for this sport, you'd be doing the same damn things that they're doing.
I know.
Like, it's the bad part, isn't it? What it is, and it's
because, you know, back in the day, it's like the flasher. Everybody wanted a flasher. Or, you know, if you figured out how to modify your spinnerbait the right way, you caught every bass in the lake. If you were the first guy that figured out a lipless crankbait, you could take it to any lake in any color that you wanted and just throw it and reel it and catch every fish in the lake. Like, nothing's new under the sun. It's the same arms race that we've been in from the beginning. But the thing is, with the influx of new anglers, the amounts of pressure that the lakes are getting, the arms race is ramping up. You know what I mean? That's why the things that worked last year are not working. That's why the things that worked 6 months ago don't work now. You just have to keep adapting to it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, that
you can't expect to pull out exactly what you threw in 1985 and just wreck them exactly like you did in 1985. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Times changed. Fish get acclimated to certain things. I mean, those baits will still work. But one thing I find kind of funny.
And you're not going to go, like, I'm not going to pick up a spinner bait and go in the back of a cove and catch 200 bass. You know, like, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I find kind of funny is we, as anglers, we talk about this fishing as a sport. I'm not going to go in the whole conversation of, is it a sport? If it's not, like, I could care less. I just love it. And I don't really care anything beyond that. But, like, I think it's funny that some call themselves athletes. It's a sport. But it's at the same point in time, like, what happens in the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, unless you're LeBron James and or Tom Brady and you're ungodly old for those sports. Like, when you get to a certain age, it's hard to keep up. Like, it's just a progression of it. It's a sport that happens. Exactly. Like, it's just one of those, I don't know. But nonetheless, we can go on that tangent for hours and hours.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know how much we want to.
I thought we left the forward facing shows in the past. All right.
Like, yes.
We tried.
Everybody said, you notice that? Everybody says, yeah, we're not going to talk about forward. This is the only one. Everybody keeps talking about it because it just,
you can't
help it. Everyone's
not what going away.
Ask questions about. Like, oh my gosh. Andy, how many people do you get asked questions about forward facing and what your opinion is on it and all that?
Quite a few like guide clients and stuff that get on the boat. They're so excited to play with it if they don't have it on their boat or kayak. And as soon as you get them, like, catching them on forward facing, they're like, okay, I'm ruined. I got to go buy it for my boat now.
Like, and for me, like, I do a lot of kids trips, and it's amazing. Like, you have a kid in the boat that you could tell, you know, that you could get 2 hours out of them if you're catching them good, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you put them in front of that screen when they start getting a little bit bored, and boom, they're back into it again. And so it can, like, keep them going. So they're out there, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing the thing. They're not sitting in front of a video game. They're out there in the wild, you know, trying to catch a fish. So.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Go for it. Do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nonetheless, let's start talking about some early winter bass fishing, because at the time of year where a lot of people are either in the woods, they're hunting, or they put the boat away, especially for us folk up north, you know, people in the Midwest, there's a lot of, they're almost getting locked up here. It's that time of year where less people are starting to fish, or the fishing is becoming quote unquote tougher because the elements are becoming harder to endure. But for you, I mean, you mentioned it, like, you love this time of year.
Gosh, I get excited, like, from now on. Like, I'm just now, like, okay, it's bass fishing time. Like, we're going to smash now. Like, it's cool. And I've always been that way because I think you hit the nail on the head right there. A lot of people, it's the elements that keep them out of there. You know, there's, like, this little myth that goes around. And I'm sure it as a, you know, guiding here in the South, I get that email. Like, I got it several times today. It's like, hey, do you still do trips in November or like December and January? Do you stop for the winter? I'm like, no, you know, we fish all the way through. It's, as long as the water's not hard, we're fishing, you know what I mean? So it's the elements, and there's like this myth that goes around that, like, I don't know, the fish go dormant and they don't eat, I guess. I don't know what the thinking behind that is, but in reality, it's some of the craziest bite windows and feeding times during the entire year. It can be tough, but it's like this fall bite, like right now, it's wide open. Like, fish are blasting bait and stuff. And it's insane. Like, you can go in the back of some pockets and it's just constant, just churning of these big fish coming all the way out of the water, eating shad and stuff. And that's going to start to slow down a little bit But really what's happening is like the top water activity is diminished. You know, they're not just blasting and like jumping out of the water and stuff once your water temps get below 50, but they're still feeding like that. Like when they get the opportunity to feed, they're going to eat like that because they have to keep their fat stores up over the winter time. These fish fight current all year long. So it's like, they've got to eat. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of if you're brave enough to get out there, but it's the best time of the year. And Bailey, you know, this, it's like, this is when you, if you want to chase a double digit fish, we're getting right into the time right now because they actually will be that big. You know what I mean? Like all those 8.5s and, you know, low 9s that you caught in the summertime are all going to be double digits. And a few of the freak 7-pounders that are just going to be so fat will actually be close to it.
Get out the glider.
They're this bit, this long.
Is it
like that wide?
Isn't that interesting? Like, so these fish, when you look at one, like you look at a healthy late summer bass, you're like, that's, it looks like a healthy fish. You don't think that they can put on that much more weight, right? It doesn't look like it. Like if you took a picture and you just hold them up, it doesn't seem like it, but it is amazing. And it's like when you see that the fat packed into the tail and the mouth, you know, when you grab one by the mouth, like in the wintertime, and it's like, this just, you don't, instead of like touching your fingers together, it's like this big fatty tissue. Yeah. It's like they hold so much fat in weird places.
Double chinned.
Yes. Yes. I've always loved it. You know what it's like? I reach down, I grab one, I can like, I get a hold of that, you know, big part of the mouth. I'm like, okay, this is going to weigh.
What it's like is it's going to be me on Thursday after my first plate at Thanksgiving.
Everyone.
And I'll be looking in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, I can fit more.
Bro, I'm going to be messed up. First of all, my wife's already started cooking. We ate barbecue tonight, which is something that we do as a part of Thanksgiving. Some like apple cider barbecue.
Sounds great.
Now we're going into Thursday. She's doing everything, the fixings, and that woman can cook. And then we're doing my grandparents on Saturday and then at my mom's house on Sunday.
Caleb's fixing to add 20 pounds.
I'm going to have to pull the dang wheelchair back out.
And a couple long naps, right? Like,
yeah. Jeez Louise, man.
Good grief.
We're wearing sweatpants for the next month and a half.
That's all right. You'll stay warm.
That's right.
Hey, you're a guy, bro. You can wear whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love it.
This time of year, you got bibs on usually anyway, so nobody's going to know.
Yeah. But talking like, so going fall into winter, there's a whole lot of changes happening. You know what I mean? But the biggest thing, so, you know, talking about just simplifying that whole deal, it's still the same thing. These fish are going to telegraph what's going on, right? If they're in grass, they're going to be blowing up. If they're in the back of a cut feeding on bait, they're going to be blowing up. If they're off secondary points, moving out of a pocket or a creek, they're going to be blowing up. There's going to be, so we just started getting our loons and our gulls. So you can follow, like literally you could follow birds around in 40 foot of water all day right now and catch fish. Anywhere on the lake. If you see birds diving, you can go there and catch fish underneath them.
Right now. Like,
so I think the biggest thing is to simplify this is to pay attention to what's going on. Like you can't be sitting there looking at a screen or looking at what you're doing when you're casting and everything. It's like you need to be thinking three steps ahead. You need to be looking everywhere, right? Taking it all in. That way, when you see that little bit of something going on out there, you can go and start to capitalize on it, right?
Right.
That's the biggest thing. So it's like that little bit of top water. As we get colder, that top water activity is diminished, but then you get that one Judas fish that will like roll and it'll tell you where everybody's at. Because what happens is these predators pack together. You know what I mean? Like it catfish, white bass, perch. There'll be drum, there'll be all species of bass mixed in together. And that's what's going to be happening. So it's like, you just got to get around that. And these lakes down here. Now I know up north, you guys don't have the bait fish that we have. Cause it's insane here. Like
not in the size at least, but like
just the numbers, like I'm talking
even numbers too. Like we can clouds up in New York, but it is nothing like,
no, Tennessee, where you just idle a whole creek for 3 miles and it's just solid bait on side scan everywhere. Like there's so many points where you can't even read bottom because there's so much bait.
It's
and insane. So I think that's one of the misnomers that you hear a lot about fall fishing. It's like, go to the backs of the creeks or find the bait and find the bass. And I'm like, that really doesn't work on a lot of these lakes, especially around the southeast right now, because we haven't had a cold winter since like 2017, right? So it's like we haven't had a shad kill in years. And when that happens, it's these fish, they could swim around with their mouth open and never have to do anything. Like it's dumb how much bait is out there right now.
What is the what is the shark that swims around with its mouth open? The giant
basking shark.
There is, yeah.
Yeah. Filter feeder. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like it is. I've never seen this much bait on the lake on Chickamauga anyway.
But so it's wild. Real quick though, do you think? What do you real side tangent before we keep going on some early winter stuff? What do you think that is going to do to the fishing? Is that going to help? Is that going to hurt anything? Is that going to make it harder to catch them because there's too much?
It makes it harder to catch them. There's definitely, I've got some pockets right now that have giants blowing up in there, and you can hit them perfect. And about every 50 times that you hit them perfect with like a spook or a lipless, you'll get one to bite and it'll be over four. But the thing is, it's like literally you can watch on live scope. It is solid blanketed bait in 4 to 6 foot of water from the surface all the way to the bottom. Mm. And so you can imagine as these fish swim, you'll see them on live scope and they'll just be like a hole, like a cave. Just like when you're watching the drone footage of tarpon going in the mullet run, where it's just like a little bubble around each tarpon. That's what it is. And so you're just hoping that your bait happens to be there. And I'm doing this with live bait too. Like I'm fishing them on a bobber, like crappie fishing. You just throw it out there and you dead stick it. You don't do anything. And then the fish will eventually swim through. You know, there'll be four or five of them together. And your shad is the one that doesn't move. So it gets eaten. That's literally all you can do.
Right. Is that what for?
Millions. Like I can throw the net one time at the corner of a school of shad and not let it sink hardly at all. Just like hit, start to reel it in and not even be able to lift it into the boat.
It's just that load with bait.
Yeah, it'd be like it's like 200 pounds.
How big are the bait? Like they're usually threatening.
The so bigger, right now, a lot of them are like a 3/4 ounce rattle trap size, like 2.5, 3. Some of them 3.5, 4.5, something like that. And there's a whole mix going on right now. I see a lot of skipjack in there. I see a lot of thread fins and a lot of gizzards, and there's thrizzards. I got a few places I can catch thrizzards, which is a cross between a thread fin and a gizzard shad.
How the heck does that happen?
I don't even know that existed.
Breed.
I know a lot of people don't. Heath was actually the one that told me about that, and I was like, what? And so I started finding them around. It's like it has the nose, it was that big bulbous like nose of a gizzard shad.
Yeah,
but then it's got the yellow tail and like the thread fin.
We have to clip that and send it to our boy Stephen Barden.
I should. I need to make a post with like all the little bait fish that I catch, because it's like I catch a lot of those. You know, skipjack herring, the catfish guys use the big ones. Looks like a tarpon for catfish bait.
Yeah.
And striper fishermen use them because the striper can actually catch the dang things. They're so fast. I've been using some of those as bait too, because they'll be mixed in a lot of times with the shad.
So it's we need to connect you with our friend Stephen Barden, who we have on the show a bunch. He's a fisheries biologist down in Texas.
But I've seen Alex do a show with him, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Steve's made his rounds for good reason. I mean, he's like you. He nerds out on stuff exactly like that. But I think you guys would want to have a riot on the water, but you could get yourselves into some trouble.
Good job. Yeah. Is that it right there?
That's it.
That's nuts, man.
That is wild.
They work great, and they actually, so it's kind of, it's a really neat deal, because they stay alive. They're more hardy than a thread fin. You know, gizzard shad are pretty darn hardy, but fish really love yellowtails or thread fin. So it's kind of like a best of both worlds. If you can find an area, it's usually an isolated, like a smaller creek that you'll find those in. So I don't know if it's just the spawning habits in those areas that causes that to happen, but because most of the other parts of the lake, it's pretty segregated out.
That makes me want to pick up like a purpley yellow crankbait. I feel like it would work really good. Gosh.
Right now, you'd probably be better off just throwing a red or a sartreuse just to be different.
Yeah. I mean, fair point as well.
Just to stand out.
just to try to stand out, because it's that's the hard part. It's just how do you make your minnow sexier than the literally hundreds of thousands? Like, it's got to be billion. Like, there's some of these pockets, it's got to have a billion Chad in it. There's no way it doesn't.
It's,
well, maybe okay, at least a million. It, I mean, come on. Like, it's unreal.
Are you seeing any unhealthy bass on Chickamauga right now?
No, dude. Most of them are just absolutely fat as mud. I've got one, though, in – so one of the pockets that's got really big fish right now. I don't know why. It's just got – the average size in there is like 4 pounders. And there's a lot that are between like 6 and 8 that you'll see schooling around everywhere. And they're just donkeys, dude. Like, they're short and just – they already look like a February fish. And I've got this one, it's like a 6 1/4 that we've caught twice. I had one client catch it on a spook, and I had another client catch it day before yesterday on a shad. And it eats, you know, it's like it'll eat the shad, it ate the spook out of all the fish that were in there, but it's real skinny. I don't know if like maybe somebody hooked it deep or something.
I wonder if it's a non-spawning fish too, like it's past its spawn
like
cycle.
It almost looks poor, you know what I mean? Like
couldn't afford a real shad, is that what you're saying?
I don't know what the heck. You might be just eating Cinco's for a living. I don't know what the heck's going on.
Because I'm too cool for live bait. I eat only artificial.
I mean, ate that little
I love my Plastisol.
Day before yesterday, but I don't understand it. Every other fish that I've caught in there has been super, super fat. I don't know if it's got to be something. Something's wrong with that fish. I don't know what it is exactly, but
like I wonder how many of these fish you're catching too are already developing their eggs or have fully developed eggs for the spawn.
I don't think they'd be fully developed
or getting there, because
I guarantee you there's roe in some of those fish. I guarantee
you. And I only ask that because a couple years ago, I killed a smallmouth in the Derby and I took it home and I cut it open. I felt bad, right? Like, it was first fish of the day. I didn't know how to fizz.
You're going to hell now.
This is before like fizzing education was widely available. Yeah. And it was a good one, cut open its belly, and it had almost fully developed eggs for the spawn in October.
So that's why
I'm sorry, I had to put that comment up there. It's too good. Yeah.
It's good. It's real good. So, but that's a northern fish getting ready for the winter because they can't really develop them in the winter because they slow down.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm curious, like, if there was a difference between the
that's
southern.
That's wild. Fish. I've never even thought about that. Isn't that neat, though, how different fish are in the same species? Like, I know, I don't know if we've ever had this conversation, but Ben, Alex, and I many times have had the conversation where we think like the difference between a Kentucky spotted bass and a Coosa spotted bass is the exact same thing that's going on with these southern smallmouth versus the northern smallmouth that you guys have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Alabama bass.
I mean, a lot of like the ones that we were catching on at Charlevoix and a lot of the Upper Peninsula fish, they have have you seen that little white dot that they get on their gill plate? And they have like a sharp edge to their gill plate, like a white bass.
Huh.
It's weird, dude. And like, we don't have anything like that. None of our smallmouth look anything like that.
That is strange. No, I didn't even think about
and
that.
And our tails, like if you, hey, if you guys make them side by side, like those ones from UP, you know, it's like they have big, not the anal fin, and then what's the one behind the spiky fin up there? Not the dorsal, the anterior fin. Is the one right behind that. They're really wide, almost like a triple tail on those Upper Peninsula fish. Whereas the ones down here, they're streamlined and they have a huge tail for fighting current and stuff. So I don't know. So this is kind of that's always fascinating to me.
Like, you want to know something interesting? This would be a great conversation to have you in with Steve Barton, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
But the scientific name for the largemouth bass has changed.
What?
Yeah. Dude, we gotta connect you guys because you'll geek out. But he's like, I don't know how this isn't becoming bigger news. And we're trying to get the guy that is responsible for changing the name of a largemouth bass, because we talked about that on the podcast with him and no one really batted an eye at it, but like the name has changed forever now. Like it's the scientific name for largemouth is different.
I don't think people realize how impactful that is, because the scientific name that has to do with like general categories that a species falls into as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, I know before, it's like largemouth was considered part of the perch family, right? So I'm wondering what it is now. Is it changed?
I actually believe they're cichlids.
Cichlid.
Yeah. So it's know, like, but
nonetheless,
it's like the pumpkin seed bluegill family.
Yeah, yeah. So that's yeah. I was gonna say that's like family. A panfish.
Yep.
But either way, so Andrew Taylor is the guy that was responsible for it. We're trying. Steve's getting us his contact, and we're gonna get him on the show to talk about changing the name of the largemouth bass.
That's wild.
Maybe we'll have to pop you in there to. I don't know. I'm surprised it's not bigger news, man. Like this.
Everybody cares about LiveScope. That's way cooler than LiveScope.
It is. It's super cool, man. I'm intrigued about it. But nonetheless, we'll keep people updated. We're trying to get Andrew Taylor here on the show. But this will go on for another couple hours if we keep going on this.
Yeah.
But so this time of year, dropping temperatures, especially like for us in the fall, like we're in winter temps now.
Oh yeah.
You know, for when it comes to fishing, but for the most of the country, you guys are just experiencing really good fishing because temps are falling. For the exactly. most part, you're getting less pressure because less people out in the water. You know, first thing you're doing when you're putting the boat in the water, like you're talking about baits everywhere in the back of pockets. They're blowing up. You can't catch some of them, but you know that the fishing should be good right now.
That's the deal. So I think one of the biggest keys there. So if you're on anywhere on the Tennessee River lakes around here, and even a lot of our Highland reservoirs, like we were talking about a second ago, we haven't had shad kills or, you know, herring kills or anything like that. So there's extremely a bumper crop, a surplus of those bait fish. So it pays to think outside the box a little bit. You're not looking for bait. You're looking for the fish, right? You're looking for evidence of the predator fish in there. And then beyond that, my thing is I'm not ever going to settle. So it's like, I'm going to run over here and maybe in this pocket, it's a south facing pocket. They're at the very mouth of it. The other one's north facing. They're in the back of it. You know what I mean? It's like, but what I'm doing is I'm going to go back there. I'm going to hang out for a little bit because you really want to give it time to kind of happen. You know what I mean? Like these fish, what they do is they school in cycles. So it's like nothing will be happening for 10 minutes and then the whole cove just goes insane. Oh, you know, they're just chewing everywhere and then nothing again. 10, 15 minutes and it goes again. So you want to at least give an area 15 to 20 minutes, right? To kind of show you what's going on. And once they start to come up and activate and feed, I'm looking around. I'm not like, you know, tunnel vision. Okay, there's a school right in front of me and I'm throwing there. It's like I throw there and then I'm looking around and I'm trying to find the big fish because they're like the big ones will hang out together in a general area of one of these places where these fish are schooling. So you're looking around for the better than average fish in there. And then once you figure out where the better than average fish are, so this is where they're actively schooling. I can see them here on this little nub coming off, you know, in the back of the pocket right there. All right. Mm-hmm. There's a little grass patch there. That's where they're schooling. That's not where they're setting. You know what I mean? They have, what right. they do is they have a rotation to come back around to ambush again, to push the bait up and start that whole cycle again. So where are they setting while they're waiting to do that, right? Where's the general area that they're hanging out? That's the waypoint that you want. That's where you want to catch the fish. Because the schooling fish are sometimes they're darn near impossible to catch, especially if they're on small bait. So you got to figure out where they're sitting to activate to start doing that whole thing again.
You know, so are you trying to catch them in that? Like you're saying you want to know that from a timing standpoint to ambush them when they're feeding, or like you're trying to hit them when they're pulled.
I'm trying to hit them when they've come up, they fed, and they're coming back around where they're separating from the bait when they're resetting as a wolf pack to go again.
So that your bait's easily more presented.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
Exactly. Now for reaction stuff on top water or a jerk bait, sometimes it pays to have that right when they're feeding. So you're going to have separate baits to go to in between there. And if you can get one, for me, if they're up feeding a big topwater, even if it doesn't match the bait, that's going to get the possibly the biggest fish in that school, right? So it pays to throw that thing multiple times when they come up. But as soon as they don't, you put it down. And then you know where this other waypoint is. That's where you throw your your Jacob Wheeler rig, a hover shot rig. That's where you throw a small swim bait. That's where you throw your rig. That's where you throw your floating fly. That's where you're going to catch those fish. The other one, the reaction fish, you're going to catch when they're up.
Backtrack 1 second. What is a Jacob Wheeler rig? What have I missed?
That's that little, what, just the jig head and the fluke. Oh, kind
of. Mid strolling.
The Miki rig, hover strolling. I mean, guys use the same thing. It's the same bait everybody uses for.
I've never heard somebody say that Jacob Wheeler rig. I'm like, wait.
That's what everybody calls it around here. The Wheeler rig. That's what it's just been coined now. It's called the Wheeler rig.
I get it.
But, you know, something that we've been using for years. Which, speaking of, like, I got to give a shout out to Berkeley as much as I don't. I'm not a huge Berkeley fan, all right? But their new little forward-facing minnow is pretty badass.
Power switch?
Yeah, it works.
Did you jack some of those off Alex?
No, I went and bought them the old-fashioned way.
Dang.
Begrudgedly, though.
Rudd didn't even help the boy out.
Me on to him. I was like, I don't want to get one. And I went through it, and I was like, damn it. It worked really good.
Damn it.
That was like bait fuel. It took me forever to get onto the bait fuel train, and I had a buddy, we were drop shotting on a ledge, and he's catching like 5 fish to my 1. I'm like, there's no way. That can't be it. There's no way.
In the water-soluble petroleum jelly.
Guinness. And then I put the slather some of that crap on mine and throw it down there, and suddenly we're catching them at the same rate again. I'm like, and now I can't live without it. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen in your life. I got a bottle of lube sitting up at the front of the boat.
That should be your next test. Just go buy some lube just from the corner store, just from CVS, and just see what works.
Just off the street market.
He's got the whole like petroleum jelly aisle.
Yeah, I don't understand.
What are you doing?
But that's like the one scent that I can say, like, it for real, like, does make a difference. I think Mac scent does too, especially on smallmouth, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, that's a whole show in itself.
Going back to the fall transition, like when you're transitioning into winter, food is king, you know what I mean? So, and I say that because I think we focus so heavily on shad, especially here in the south on the Tennessee River system. What I thought was really interesting, so there was the CBA, which is the Chattanooga Bass Association. That's like our big local derby. That's where like the pros and the Joes come together, and like all your hammers fish that, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'll see Jacob Wheeler fishing that, and you'll see like Kevin Drake, you know, the guy that catches like 45-pound bags in the wintertime on this lake. Mm-hmm. So that's the hammer trail around here. And the classic was won by a couple dudes that were not targeting frogfish. They were not targeting fish with a rig that were around shad. They were targeting a bluegill spawn a couple weeks ago. And so they were targeting those bluegill that were spawning outside of like the last little bits of grass in certain areas and throwing a bluegill swim jig. And they had, I don't know, they had like 22 or 23 pounds a day, which was good for right now, and they ended up winning the classic on that thing. And I think if you go, you know, right now, as we between now and about middle of December is when you're going to start seeing me catch those giant fish, right? All of a sudden it's going to go from seeing me posting pictures of like 6-pounders and 7-pounders to really big ones. And I think the catalyst for that is that the really big fish, a lot of them become accessible because they've been back in this grass, right?
Yeah.
And so that brings me to believe that a lot of those fish, the really big ones, you know, when it is available, I think they actually prefer the crawfish and the bluegill that are in there over the shad, because they'll stay in those areas until the last little bit. Like this is right now, in the next 3 weeks, you're going to see the biggest frogfish of the year, because they're holding on to that last little bit of grass, right? As that mat shrinks down to like the size of the front of your boat, the biggest, baddest fish that's been in that little pocket the whole summer that you could never even reach with a frog is right there in that one 10-foot by 10-foot mat.
He said, I ain't leaving.
That's right. She's going to lock it down until it's gone. And then she's going to be out here where I can catch her with a big gizzard check. So I think food is king. It's not necessarily shad. Like you need to look at the forage itself. Like what do the big fish prefer? Is it crawfish or is it bluegill? Like what is the highest bang for your buck as far as what they're working for and getting the most out of as far as nutrients?
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be something where it's an easier to catch and like more.
Yeah.
Like it's
talking about that, I think a lot of times it's not necessarily it's even an easier to catch thing or even more like a bluegill is not pleasant to eat, right? They have spines and fins. A lot of our fish absolutely love to eat yellow bass. And those are the spiniest little rascals you've ever touched in your life. Like everything
that you call perch?
Huh?
Is that what you call perch?
No. Striped
bass. What is yellow bass?
Yellow bass. It's like a yellow stripe. You ever seen those? It's a bar fish in Texas. They call them a bar fish.
I don't know if I mean, I've probably seen them. I don't.
Yeah. They're small. Like imagine, you know, white bass, you know, they get like 2 pounds or so.
Oh, so
yellow bass, they only get like a pound.
So they're just a yellow white bass.
They're just basically that's all they are. They're a different species, technically.
Gotcha. Okay. But
big fish love to eat them. And I don't know why, because I mean, you talk about everything on that is a weapon. So there's got to be something to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's probably why you see so many fish that are like dying at the surface because the spines get stuck.
Yeah.
And they just start choking on the dang thing.
I've never seen one choking on a white bass, but I mean, gosh dang, I don't like touching them. Like I catch hundreds of them every year, and I'm like, gosh, man, there's nothing that cuts me up more than a white bass. They'll slice and dice you. But yeah. I think that's the deal. It's like talking about food itself. It's not shad necessarily that has the right fish, the fish that you want to catch, right? Like your trophy class fish. Now, at certain times, it's going to be shad. So as the grass dissipates and as the bluegill start to – a lot of times what happens is the bluegill go too shallow for the fish to even get in. Like I caught a frogfish a couple days ago on a trip and literally put my trolling motor in the mud. And I took Gene's boat and I lifted the trolling motor and I trolled it until the boat, like the hull of that Alumacraft, bottomed out, dropped the trolling motor in the mud and casted like 40 yards into a little bitty. I mean, it couldn't have been more than that deep and caught it like a 3-pounder on a frog.
Yeah.
And that's what the bluegill are.
So you're saying for the people that are going out fishing right now, they're thinking, I got to take an A rig and a jerk bait and just run main leg points all day. It's the only way I'm going to, and you're going to catch them that way. But you're saying, to catch those larger size fish, they're going to be in the last remaining grass, wherever those bluegill, crawdad concentrations are going to be.
So, yes and no. So, where there is the opportunity or where there is that grass, that will be the preferred forage. That will be the preferred cover for them to sit on. But what will happen, you'll notice there'll be different parts on the lake where the grass is going to die out, right? So it dies out at different rates. So you have to constantly go back in these places and check them. And then suddenly there won't be anything left that's viable in this area. And boom, it's completely into a winter pattern where they're like on shell and little hard spots, little nooks in the creek bends and stuff coming out of those pockets and stuff. And then they work their way out to the main channel. They just completely start doing the shad thing and doing the winter deal. So you got to keep them honest on that. But I'm saying if you pull into a pocket and they're schooling on shad and doing their deal and you look way back in there and you see a mat that's left over, it's all stringy and nasty looking. It's like the size of your boat or two boats. You better go over there and throw a frog on it because that's probably going to be where your big fish of the day comes from.
Mm.
Those big ones, they'll lock onto that stuff. Like then, you know me, that's the fish that I want to catch.
Right.
So they're going to hang out in those areas until it's just not even viable anymore. And that's when they're going to come out. When that water finally drops out and reaches winter pool and everything just kind of starts to settle in, that's when I can start to target those fish a whole lot better. And the change happens relatively quickly at that point. You know, the fall transition, we talked about that, like it starts so slow, you know, it's like, eases down, like the bite's finally getting good. It's like you're just anticipating the way it is right now, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, one of these soon it's going to be awesome. Then it's like really awesome for a little while, and then it's wintertime. You know what I mean? So it like ramps up as it goes down into the deal, and then it's just it cuts off because those fish are starting to move out and do their deal. Like they're either going to sit in these major creeks, like on do nothing mud areas, or they're going to go out and draft river channel, like the edge of it on the major turns and stuff. So as soon as it's over, dude, like when the bait decides to get out of there and when the there's no grass to keep them there, so then it's like there's no forage in the backs of those places. Right.
They're gone in the abyss.
They're just going to get the heck out of there. But
so for this time when you're going into from the fall into winter months, how similar is that for you, in your opinion, to like when you're following fish in the early spring throughout the spring? Are you basically following that same pattern but backtracking it?
No. It's because you're talking about two different things. In the spring, those fish, they've already fed up. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to commit and they're trying to move in and time the spawn, right? And now that we've got Florida strains, like it's all over the place with that. But that's their main reason for being up there. With fall, it's the exact opposite. It's all food based. It's food oriented. So, whatever decisions the food makes is going to completely be king on what the fish are going to do. And like we were talking about, there's these fish, when they have this much of an abundance of forage, when there's literally billions upon billions of bait fish, they get really selective. Like there'll be certain fish that won't go on a tiny, this school of like little eyeball thread fin, but if, you know, 4 to 5 inch ones come through, they'll eat them. Because they can afford to do that, right?
Yeah.
So they can, it's kind of like if you just lived at a buffet, you would only eat what you wanted.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. You would have all the options in the world, but you would just like whatever you were feeling that day is what you were going to eat.
Yeah.
And when for them, I think it's all about nutrient intake. So that's what I'm looking at there. I'm looking at the forage. I'm not just, even if it's a shad lake, I'm not just looking at the shad because I don't think that the shad are the deal, you know, as far as like the most bang for the buck for the fish, as far as nutrient intake. It just doesn't feel that way to me. I think that they're getting more from these other sources. And that's why they'll just, like the really big ones will just say, okay, y'all can have that. And they'll lock down these other areas.
So you're saying they'll still catch fish if they're around that bait. You're just not going to find, on average.
You're going to find great fish, right? You're going to find 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pound fish around that bait. There's going to be very few, it seems like to me, of the 8 pound class. And that's awesome. And I think I do a lot of fishing in that because it's so fun and you have the opportunity to get around like a really big biomass of fish. So you're fishing for a lot of fish. You tend to get your numbers that way. But if you're like me and you like to really hunt, you know, it's like a deer hunter. It's like you want a trophy hunt. That's not what you're looking for. And I don't think it's a glide bait deal either right now. I think it's literally you're picking up a swim jig like a bluegill. You're throwing a wake bait that looks like a bluegill. You're throwing a frog up and stuff to try to mimic a bluegill. Because that's what the giant will eat until she can't. And then she's back out doing the deal.
Makes sense.
So one of our last questions for you, to wrap this thing up, is like when you talked earlier how when you see a pocket, and it's just like from the beginning all the way to the back, it's littered with bait, but you're seeing stuff get busted on. You see action, like to an angler, your eyes are like, oh God, they're busting up on something. I'm throwing a topwater. I'm not catching crap though, but there's bait everywhere, fish everywhere. I'm not catching anything. What's your approach to that? Is it just get the heck out of there and just rip off the Band-Aid, or do you have some tricks to try to catch those fish?
So if I'm seeing average size fish in there, if I'm seeing 2 to 4 pound fish schooling, I'm not going to bother with it. I'm not going to beg a 2 pounder to bite, right? You know what I mean? Especially when you have a lake, I treat it like it's a Florida lake, you know, where you've got so many fish. What is the point of beating your head against a wall for a subpar fish? So I'm going to move. I'm going to jump over there. But when I get in an area like this one pocket that I'm fishing right now, it's like, it's got mostly big ones in there, right? So it's worth it to take the time. It's just like if you're bed fishing, right? You're working down a bank and you see like 22 pounders on the bed and there's 1 6. You're willing to spend time to try to make that 6 eat, right?
Yeah. Always.
It's the same concept. But when you get around those bigger fish, the deal is when there's that much bait, we were talking about that before, think of it as a curtain. Even if there's good visibility in there, those fish can't see very far, right? Like, even like you throw a jerk bait 3 foot in front of that fish, and if that whole shad mess is right there, they're never going to see it. Or if you throw a rig, it's behind the curtain, they're never going to see it. So what you're relying on is just making those repetitive casts. If you have live scope, you can actually lead those fish. Because what happens is in that shallower water, they will not tolerate you throwing it right on their head. They just won't. But yeah. You can get a nice cast, quiet entry, just pass and in front of where they're going and lead it into them so that your bait blasts through that wall of bait, that solid wall, and then it's like, get a chance at reaction bite.
Yeah.
Or the opposite of that is you go super finessey and it's like you bring your bait to them, the bait pulls out away, the curtain removes, and then your fluke is just sitting there dead sticking. Mm. Or Senko, Texas Rig Senko works really good for that too, even around all the shad and stuff. But your bait's just sitting there just dead sticking in that area. It's the injured shad, because what happens when they're going and feeding on smaller bait, big fish, when they feed on smaller bait, they're not trying to single out a bait. It's just like when you're seeing those tarpon and like black tips schooling on mullet, it's like they're slashing through. They're going to eat as many as they can in one mouthful, and they're going to stun a bunch more and turn back around and eat them. Right. So you want to look like that stunned bait fish if you're finesse fishing in there. I'm going to throw like something weightless, super finessey. I'm going to throw a float and fly. I'm going to throw like a little hover rig. That hover rig is like really good for that kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of becoming a staple. And then for power fishing part up, to get like a reaction bite, jerk bait's always really good. If you can keep from snagging like 20 shad every time you cast the stupid thing. So that's the catalyst. But I found that if you reel it, so if you throw it over there and there's a blanket where I'm talking, it's just solid bait, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no way your sonar could ever read the bottom. It's so solid. If you throw your jerk bait in that and you just slow reel it, you can lead those fish, slow reel it to depth where they're at, let them intersect it. And then once the bait blows through, then you can start to work it. And it's less likely to get bogged down with, a shad on every treble hook. And you get a chance to get a bite that way. And you can get it like get kind of violent with it and get a reaction bite, or throw that spook right when they're schooling. Bigger spook sometimes gets the right bite. Like, it's going to be extremely frustrating though, because you're going to be watching, in an hour, you're going to, I don't know how many fish you're going to see over 6 pounds schooling. It's going to be, super aggravating. And then once every 50 times that you hit them perfect, beautifully with a spook and work it perfectly, one of them's going to mess up and eat it, and it's going to be a big one. Hmm. So it's like you're going to catch maybe 2 fish an hour, but they're going to be big ones. So to me, it's worth it. But I mean, like, it's still okay with maddening to me to deal with that.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, you could hear the aggravation in your voice when you were talking about it. Yeah.
Serious anger podcast.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Did you see that?
That was so funny, dude. Andy, I don't know if you saw it. Caleb's wife put the calendar notification on for being on tonight's show as the Serious Anger Podcast.
Yeah, autocorrect it. And I was like, I'm gonna have to tell Bailey. I was gonna have to we're gonna have to have a live scope conversation so we can like get angry about something.
Yeah, get mad about something.
And just get pissed about. I don't know what's the latest thing to get pissed about. Wicked.
That's the title. Let's get pissed.
Yeah, that's Serious pissed. Anger Podcast.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Nah, no, dude. I think
that's the biggest thing though. It's like, you got to have multiple rods on deck. You got to think outside the box.
Yes.
Once you don't ever settle for average size fish, find the big fish and then sit on them and figure out how to make them bite, because it's worth it.
Yeah.
There'll be certain areas on the lake that have the right fish that you want to catch. So go catch it.
Heck yeah, dude. I feel like we got 20% of the conversation that we wanted to get through. Like, I feel like we need to carve out a show that's like 3 hours where we can just go. Oh,
we just need to, like, what I need to do is just have an outline and us just not go. Cause the problem is we haven't talked. In
We're not built.
So half of it is just us like hanging out.
Yeah, pretty much. We need to just set a time. Like, we're going to go live one of these times, like 8 o'clock, but there's no saying when we're going to end. We're just
exactly.
I think we need
especially when you get into town.
Yes, do yeah.
If we got down this way, that would be awesome just to just sit there and do like a panel and just like we do. I mean, that's the cool thing. One of the most fun things about doing the full-time guide gig is just hanging out with the other guides every morning. Just like talking, like fishing with hardcore bass heads like that are like-minded and are as into it as you are. And, you know, that are better fishermen than you are. It's like, it's freaking awesome.
I'll tell you what. If we can make it happen, I have the setup now to be doing shows in person.
Yeah.
We'll go get out on the water and we'll do a in-person show. Like we'll make that thing happen. We can let it rip. Like we got all day. Like we could probably even do it while
we're fishing. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Just do like a live while we're fishing and just kind of like, especially if you do a live bait thing, we just drift big shad and stuff and occasionally catch a giant and just sit there and talk bass fishing the whole time.
Do you know how much fun that would be?
It'd be a blast.
Hold on. People want to see that.
Got one.
Yeah. Hold on a second. It's a giant.
Hold that thought.
No, usually it's like, it's not, I got one. It's just like, you're sitting there and nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden there's an enormous bass schooling on your 12-inch shad. That's like jumping around, trying to get away. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Chaos.
And then she misses it and just lets it go.
The day that you, Rudd, and I went out and I got the back of the boat as we were drifting backwards and I was just bird dog for every single one of Alex's fish.
Oh my gosh, you were rising them.
Yeah, every single time.
Too much. Bailey shad, like they were sitting in 14 foot of water. Bailey shad would drift over and they were like, oh, what's that? And they start to swim. Leave his alone. Alex just hits him in the back of the head. They clapped his shad every time.
There was a couple times, including the one that Alex caught that was 10 pounds, where my bob or my float would go down.
Yeah.
And we'd wait like what? Like 15, 20 seconds, reel it, nothing there. And then Alex's would be like right where mine went down.
Just instantly annihilate it.
Yeah.
It's so funny though, dude, because that happens every time. There's literally always somebody that just has the magic touch that day and somebody that's doing the exact same thing. It's the same thing. Like you're in the boat with me, we're fishing a drop shot. You're kicking my butt on a drop shot. And I'm like, maybe he's working it different than I am. You know, like maybe, and I'm trying to mimic exactly what you're doing. And I'm like, maybe I just couldn't do it that day. Like some days it's just like, I have a beautiful filet mignon shad right here. And I have one over here. It's the exact same size. I have the exact same rod and reel, the exact same line. They're 10 foot apart. And every time this guy gets the bite. It's just the way it works, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I see that too. Like the same exact bait, fishing the same water, making the same guess, and one person will catch them and the other won't.
It's like somebody's holding their mouth right, living right. They got a rally dip in. I don't know what it is. Something's working.
Yeah, something. But nonetheless, dude, we're going to make that happen. We're going to bring the podcast studio down to you.
Let's do that. I'd like to do one with the biologist guy, too. That'd be cool.
I think we can make that happen this year. So for you and as well as for the folks, we plan on doing that a lot in 2024, is taking this show actually on the road, bringing the setup and doing some stuff in the boat, or like even if we're having dinner, whatever, drinks, whatever have you, we're going to have some in-person shows with these people. So it's going to be,
I think that's a great idea.
It's going to be epic, man.
I'm super excited. Traveling and stuff. And it's like, it's kind of like the Greg Blanchard thing. You know, you get around a cool core group of guys and I think the audience would love just hanging out. You know what I mean? Just like I like hanging out at the local tackle shop. You know what I mean? Like you're just going over there and
that
hang out with your buddies.
I'd love to do one too. That would be freaking sweet, man.
Oh dude, they got a killer setup in there too.
That'd be pretty sweet.
We could do one over there and you could talk to all the local hammers and stuff like that. It'd be pretty sweet.
Get out the juice, get some people
and
in trouble.
And then spend way too much money because they have way too much cool JDM stuff in there.
Yeah, dude, the last time we're going on another tangent here because we got to get our boy Sam from Project Purple on here in a minute. Every time, the last two times I've gone down, we go to Dayton Boat Dock, I always tell Rudd or you, and I'm like, I'm leaving the wallet in the truck because I'm going to spend way too much freaking money if we walk in it. Because New York, we have one really good tackle shop at Lakeside Outfitters, and it's the same way. If I go visit him, see Scott, I'm like, crap, I'm going to spend a lot of money.
That's what, next time you come into town, we're both just going to like leave the wallets with the wives and just drive, and I'll take you to like all four of the most bad A freaking tackle shops that we have around here because they all have different stuff. And it's like you can put your hands on stuff that you can't anywhere in the U.S., like just locally around me. We're so spoiled.
Well, it's a good thing I got Apple Pay on my phone. I'll just tap.
Get yourself in trouble is what you'll do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have to, like, cut myself off. I'm like, Greg, don't let me spend anything. Nothing.
Yeah. And he's like, do you want this real?
Oh, he's mean. He'll text me a screenshot when he gets a JDM order in. He's like, look at that. He's like, colors that you can't get in the U.S., baits that are discontinued or haven't even come here yet. And I'm like, he takes me, and then it's like there's one of the buddies that owns Veterans Marine. He does like a work on all our boats, and he lives right down the road. And he's got this huge diesel Dodge, and as soon as he'll text me, and then I'll like walk into the shop, and I'll hear that Dodge crank up like 200 yards away, and he'll run over there like 60 mile an hour, just like squealing through That's the parking awesome. Lot. It pulls in and grabs.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. It's like
a dog. Keeping them in business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, buddy, dude, I appreciate you. And it's been good to catch up.
It's been too long. We need to do this more often.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I'll give you a ring after the show and we'll schedule some time and figure out some plans over this winter.
Let's do it. Let me get you on the boat.
Appreciate you as always. And we'll talk to you soon.
Down here too, Andy.
Yeah, one of these times. It'd be fun.
Yeah, y'all jump in with him and just come down. We'll play around.
I could probably sneak away sometime in January or February's tough, but I might be able to sneak away in like.
That's the best time here too. That's what I keep telling like Ben and everybody too. It's like y'all just come down here because it's like we can fish all year round. It's the best chance at a giant fish anyway, even if the bite's tough. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. All right, buddy.
I'll see you soon.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. And that's it, Mr. Caleb Bell. Always a pleasure getting that man on here. He's one that I am privileged to call a friend of mine. And I am also at fault because we don't talk as much as we should. Caleb is one of the nicest human beings that I've ever encountered in this fishing industry. Even if you literally just met him 15 minutes ago, he'd treat you like he's known you for 15 years and take you out and go fishing. Very genuine, has a true, pure love for bass fishing and just getting people on fish. So love getting him on here, especially because he's a freaking wizard, man. I've been saying that all week about him. He's truly a wizard the way he approaches how these bass behave. And it's one of kind of like the core reasons of Serious Angler in regards to the way he looks at studying a bass's behavior is one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast. So it's super cool. And I was talking about on getting people on in person on the show. We're making that happen this year. We're going to do way more of it because it's so much more fun to do it in person than on here. But nonetheless, we got some pretty exciting stuff to wrap up the show. I think some people might be waiting on us here to unleash this deal. Let's pull him in. Mr. Sam from Project Purple. What's going on, dude?
What's happening, man?
He's back.
Welcome back.
Yeah. The Andy number two is back.
Yeah, I mean, he's growing out the beard like me as well here. You know, no shave November. Like, we're doing good over here.
Yeah.
It's good. Seriously, it looks good, Sam. It looks good.
No, my own father last time said there was something wrong. He's like, hey, something's up. Like, you're showing up twice.
No way.
He was only half joking, too. It took him a minute.
That's really funny.
That's freaking awesome, man. Well, dude, it's been a fun couple weeks trying to get this thing going, trying to help, fight the good fight. And we had a good amount of people that got in and helped donate to Project Purple. So it's been a good ride. And real quick, before we get into the winner here, because we're going to pull up, we have a whole spin the wheel deal here to decide the winner at random. How has things been going for Project Purple? What thing is, especially for being the month of November, what can people look out for coming up soon? Things like if they want to continue to support, what can they do?
Totally. Yeah. So it is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. So it has been an absolute whirlwind. We just came off the New York Marathon and we have all kinds of other stuff going on. We have a turkey trot. You can check all that out at our website at projectpurple.org. We're also on every social media humanly possible. I try to put us everywhere and do our best to keep up a presence, but we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, just about every place that I can think of and can manage to get some posts up. So you can follow us everywhere. You can follow us on projectpurple.org, and you know, we'd love to have you guys.
Well, you'll have our ugly mugs following the Project Purple cause for here on out. And obviously we are always here to support the cause, and I'll be making sure I'm tagging Andy in all the posts I see you in so that people get confused on who you actually are.
That's good. It's so good.
Dude, it's awesome. Well, all right. Let me pull up spin the wheel here. I think it's actually called the Wheel of Names.
You know, I donated, so make sure you take my name out of the wheel, because I don't think you're allowed to win.
I did. I took you out. We're not giving you the goods. I'm not giving you the chance. At least Sam over here, you know, he's good looking at least, and you know, we'll put this stuff to good use.
I'm battered here, right? Like,
I'm gonna have Andy play some tournaments for me, make me look a lot better.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's so many different things you could do there.
Some OSK herbs.
Let's get this in here. All right, so we have the wheel here. Names that entered, and Sam, is there anything else before we get Rip here to announce the winner?
Yeah, just wanted to say a huge thank you to everybody. Everybody who donated, you know, whatever you can. The price of a cup of coffee to you might not mean a whole lot, but to the relative that's got to get up early to take their loved one to chemo, like it can mean a big thing. So thank you so much. Every dollar counts, and we're putting it to good use.
I love to hear that, man. And looking forward to seeing the things that you guys get going here.
Got Brown Bait Company asking if you can donate and get in real quick. Or is it too late?
It might be too late to get on the wheel, but if you're down to donate, and this also goes for anybody who might be listening to like the MP3, on projectpurple.org, we have a donate button in the top of the screen. It's somewhere in the top right. And then if you scroll around, there's a few more littered throughout.
Yeah, what I'll do here is for people that are on, it is unfortunately too late to get in on the giveaway, but I will drop the link one more time in here, as well as it's in our show notes too. If you guys want to click on that, it's been on that for the past few shows. But if you guys would like to donate and still support, highly, highly appreciated. But for the circle now, it's on the screen, so there is no going back. So I think without further ado, are we ready to let this rip, boys?
So did the Finding Adventure not get in on time with his last donation, he said?
Because
he says he is not on that.
He did comment before we put the circle on. Finding Adventure, what is your name? I mean, I could put Finding Adventure on there, but I guess that's in the short term.
Yeah.
What is your first, in at least your first name? He's in here. I'll just put Finding Adventure in here that way.
There you go.
He's in here commenting, so we'll add him in here. Oh, here we go. Put his name. You got another Andy.
Yeah. Now I got three chances to win.
You guys got jokes.
You got me. You got Sam, who's also me. And then Andy.
It's like that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. Yeah.
It's a good one.
All right. Are you fellas ready?
Yeah. Spin it.
Michelle, spin it here.
Cue the Jeopardy music.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be Scott. Scott has been in the comments for almost every single live show we've ever done. Anything pre-recorded, social media. Scott's been one of our biggest fans. And
congrats, Scott.
Heck yeah, you're getting quite the package sent your way, Scott. So get in touch with this man. Obviously, we have your contact, so we'll be in touch to get all that jazz. Sent your direction. Awesome. But congrats on that. He's even in here. Here we go.
Perfect. Oh, awesome.
Heck, congrats, yeah, Scott. Man. Well, Scott, congrats. Appreciate you for supporting such a great cause. And I'm sure there are going to be many more of these opportunities to come. Because the one thing that's awesome about supporting you guys, supporting good people, is we also have people like X2 and all the different logos you guys see on this screen, you know, people that support us are supporting us and supporting you guys. So they get behind any of these initiatives. We can call them up, be like, hey, we got this thing coming up, a giveaway. Can you donate something so that we can try to raise funds? Which, you know, shout out to the fellows at X2 Power that hooked that up. And so round of applause for everybody involved. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everyone that donated and supports this show. And continue on to support Project Purple. So helping people, the good people, fight the good fight. So thank you, man. Seriously, appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Heck appreciate yeah. Everybody who donated as well. I can't say that enough. Thanks, everybody.
Heck yeah, man. Well, Andy, number two, it was a pleasure to actually get to meet you and get you on these shows, man. And I hope hopefully this year in 2024, we'll actually be able to meet in person.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
Heck yeah. Well, I will say, and I'll go out on a limb here and offer up Andy's boat, where if you ever want to come up and come fishing, we'll make some time.
Dude, yeah, I'm down for sure. That sounds great.
Even if Andy's not free, we'll steal his boat.
Yeah, you guys have to put me on some smallies. I haven't caught any big smallies.
I think there, Bailey, next time my boat will probably come back broke because it's your first time ever driving a bass boat, and I heard about the stories, but we can let...
Heard about the stories?
I'm just kidding.
It was just fine. What do you mean? Get out of here.
Trim down, Bailey. Trim down.
Yeah. Make fun of the kayak guy. Here we go. But yeah, Sam, for real, though, like, thank the you. Offer is always there. I got a guest room. Come on up, and we'll get you on some fish. But for real, man, thank you for what you do. And we're going to sign off here in a little bit. But I appreciate you coming on and inviting people in on a great cause to support.
No, yeah, appreciate you guys so much. Thanks again for putting this together. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to get in front of so many good people who donated, so many good people who helped spread awareness. Appreciate all y'all.
Heck yeah, man. Well, Sam, we'll be talking to you real soon, buddy. And hopefully we'll keep this thing going, man.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Sam.
Bye.
Heck yeah, dude. I know this has been a little work in progress over the past couple months, but it was good to get this thing rolling through the month of November. And hopefully we can get this going here, so down the road and do this again to help support people over at Project Purple. And, you know, this stemmed off of an episode we did, Andy, where we said, we understand that our platform is growing. And when you have a platform, that means that you have a voice. You know, maybe people shouldn't listen to us for fishing stuff, but we say some things that are good now and then, and hopefully that means we can do it for some good. So I'm glad we are able to use this show for some good, and hopefully we can do it even bigger and better the next time. So seriously, again, I know we've said it 100 times already, but for real, thank you to everybody that was able to support. And we're trying to keep finding these opportunities to give back to the fine folks that support this show and the people that need it. And with that being said, speaking of giveaways, while we're on the topic, until January 6th, you still have a while, but for the rec lending giveaway that's going on with Business from the Bass Boat, that is $10,000 of cash and prizes. That's going on. That's easy to get on. I think you just submit your email and you can get in on that. But nonetheless, Andy, tonight was a lot of fun getting Caleb on. We need to get Caleb back on for a long show coming up soon where we can just literally not even, we'll title the live show just Caleb. We're just going to go on. We're going to talk for hours.
A long-winded episode of Caleb.
Yes, this is Caleb. Enjoy our conversation.
We can just single screen him and kind of drop off and let him talk and then pop in every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's somebody I could listen to forever, like, because he thinks about things in such a unique way that I just find it extremely, extremely intriguing. But yeah, I mean, 100%, he's one of my favorite guests we get on here for that reason. And I think a lot of the folks that are listening to this love every show with Caleb. But nonetheless, if anybody has any feedback on how these shows are running, things of that nature, please get in touch.
Much better now that your internet's working good.
Yes. Speaking of that, I have a 100-foot Ethernet cord running from my computer right here all the way up to my router that's next to
me. How's the wife feel about that?
We made a compromise because we're mature married people now. that I will have the Ethernet cord connected during shows and not connected when I'm not recording. So we're good. That's all I need. Because other than that, dude, whenever I have StreamYard up, it's when it sucks.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm fine. Like, whatever reason we stop streaming, we're good for the most part. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, now that we've had this, I think we're good. I'm gonna knock on wood because it's only been, you know, one show, but nonetheless, good show tonight. And one thing I'll do for folks too, especially our kayak fishing folk, is Kayak Fishing Weekly is coming back this week with episode 3, and that is going to be with Christine Fisher. I'm sorry, episode four. Good grief, episode 4, and that's gonna be with Christine Fisher. And we are going to drop that on Thanksgiving morning. So folks, if you guys are lounging around or you're stuffed after trying to devour 10 plates of Thanksgiving dinner, like I will be, you'll have that to listen to. But, nonetheless, Andy, anything else for the folks?
If you're looking to get on some smallmouth or largemouth action, I would probably book your spring date now. I'm just about full. I have very limited dates left in April, May, June, and the beginning of July, which is really the prime time for catching really big fish here in New York. We pretty much like coined it KVD season, because any cast you have a shot at a fish of a lifetime in the north, in the region that we live in. So you want to get those dates in, and then stay tuned for Saturday morning. I'm hoping to get the Lure Lab episode recorded tomorrow, and to get it up for Saturday before the big holiday weekend, and a bunch of guide trips for Steelhead as well. So, yeah.
Heck yeah, dude. Well, folks, reach out to Andy. Well, there's social media. I think we have his email down below in the description as well. But we mentioned some sales in the beginning. If you weren't around for that, if you're listening on YouTube, you might have skimmed through it. Big Black Friday sales going on over at Duke Molds, Bass Fishing Electronics, if you want to save. And some Humminbird and Power Pole stuff. And last but not least, Friday only XT Power Demand 15 for 15% off of lithium, lithium jump packs, things like that. Save some money on some higher dollar items that are much worth the investment. Mm-hmm. But coming up on the Serious Angler Podcast, moving forward here, we have some exciting guests. We have, obviously, we're taking off this Friday, so this is the only show you guys will have this week, but a week from tonight, Tuesday Night Live on the 28th, we'll have Keith Carson joining us, MLF BPT rookie. We'll be talking and diving into what the heck he's up to this winter, but also what it's like being a rookie and being told it's a top 10 or sayonara for the BPT next year. We're going to talk about that, and then we have next Friday Emil Wagner join the show, a new up-and-coming hammer, and that's going to be quite the show. But what can folks look forward to for the Lure Lab, Andy?
Ooh, that's a great question. I haven't decided what I'm going to do my episode on this weekend yet. So, yeah, how about that?
It's usually, this is how it works with Andy, guys. Some weeks he's like, yeah, I already got done, we're good. And some nights it's like Friday night, midnight. It's like, yeah, I just got done with the Lure Lab. I'll make the thumbnail 30 minutes before, and then it does amazing. And it's just, I wish I could do that. I'm incapable of doing it. That's
because what happens is, like, if I get a guest, right, I can get it done early in the week. If I don't have a guest, I have to sit there and ponder, and I go through like 8 different show ideas, and then whichever one I can come up the best outline for is the one I end up doing in the last minute. So yeah.
Well, I think it more is because you're scatterbrained. You're like, ooh, maybe I can do this. Ooh, maybe I can do this. Ooh, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, but then I have to plot it out and figure out which one I can do the most efficient way without of the stuff, because a lot of stuff's still in my boat. Yeah,
let's make it easier for you in regards to what we're gonna do. Well, we got to get the people in on it. Like, we have fans of Lure Lab that listen to this show, but like, if you listen to the Lure Lab, if you haven't, highly encourage you to. It drops every Saturday, and if you want to hear a certain bait or technique be talked about, either DM Andy, email us, or to get in our DMs for Serious Angler, let us know some techniques or baits that you want to hear talked about, because that'll help Andy's mind be able to be at ease each week to see what shows to do. But nonetheless, yes, Clay, Andy is the Lure Lab. Andy is Lure Lab, yes.
Yes.
But nonetheless, buddy, tonight was a great show. And obviously you and I are going to talk, but for everybody that is watching or listening, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Take the time with family. Wind down. Hopefully you got off from work.
Enjoy some football. I think it's Thursday, Friday, college Saturday, and Sunday for the NFL. So you got three and Monday. So you got 4 days of NFL this weekend plus a college football day. So,
and we'll put the asterisk on it that if this is the end of Serious Angler because the Eagles play the Bills this weekend and Andy and I hate each other after Sunday, I'm sorry, but this might be the last episode. We should have titled it "This is our last episode."
Yeah, we should have. Maybe that could be our Tuesday live show stream. Like, this is our last episode.
It could be. All I'm going to say is there's been a lot of Serious Angler fans saying that the Bird fans. That's fine. I got a lot of Go Birds.
Go Birds. I don't mind the Eagles. I'm glad they beat the Chiefs.
We should have set some fun like wager thing for people to get in on like a tally for Birds, tally for Bills, have some fun with it. But nonetheless,
everyone's counting out the Bills now. I'll take it.
No, I mean, after last night, people are counting out the Eagles. Are you kidding me?
Hey, they won. It doesn't matter how you win the NFL. It's just you have to win. So,
oh yeah. Well, either way, let's hope it is, and we'll cheers to a hard-fought, close game that is exciting to watch with no injuries.
Yes.
That's all you can ask for.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
And lots of trash talk back and forth. Fun, friendly
banter. It was literally 5 minutes into the Eagles game, and Andy texts me, goes, "The Bills are totally beating the Eagles next week." I'm like, dude, let me get through this game. I don't want to deal with that crap right now.
You're like, what do you mean?
I was like, what? I'm like, the game's still going. Like, what do you think's happening right now?
I don't even think I turned it on yet at that point when I texted you that. God. Just gotta ruffle your feathers.
It's been a roller coaster, man. We just I don't even want to talk about it right now. Lose my mind. Oh, nonetheless, folks, appreciate you all. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.